All right, so we're going to continue on this morning looking through the book of Ephesians, and I just ask that you would bow with me in prayer as we ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, thank you for how we can look at your Bible, your book that you have written to us. We thank you so much for giving us this most incredible declaration from you in regards to your character, who you are, what you have done for us. That's incredible. And we thank you how Jesus is central to all that. We thank you for this morning, remembering Jesus and how he was so obedient in following you and doing your will so that we could become part of your family. And we thank you, Lord, for how the gospel not only saves us but has great impact upon us in all our life, as we'll see today. I ask that you would help us as we consider your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I reckon I want to first of all say that in terms of what we've been looking at recently through the book of Ephesians, we've been looking through a very special part of the book of Ephesians, all the way from chapter 4, in regards to what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, for the gospel to have practical application in our life. And I know just recently we have been looking at from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22, we had an address towards husbands in the Word of God. A husband is to love and to lead his wife as Christ loves and leads the church. That's it. This is the impact of the gospel in our life. A wife is to respect and submit to her husband as the church respects and submits to Christ, and as Christ respects and submits to the Father. This is how the gospel is to shape our life. This is not something that we put upon the whole world. This is something that followers of Jesus are to live out. And last week we even looked at, on Father's Day, how children are to obey the Lord, and fathers are not to exasperate, provoke, to anger our children, but to train them up and teach them up in the way of the Lord. So even children and parents are mentioned. The gospel is to impact our life. Do you understand that? Because so many times as Christians, the way we live our life is so much more in regards to the gospel is about saving our soul, and then we go and do whatever we want. Is there a problem with that? There is. We haven't understood the gospel. The gospel is to have huge impact in every area and in every activity of our life. That's how it's got to be. And it's to be done because we want to glorify God and do good in our broken world for the glory of the Lord's name. Now this morning, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. We're getting close to the end of Ephesians. And we'll be looking at another section. And it's in regard to how the gospel is meant to have impact in the way we work. Yes, out there in the world, whether it's paid or unpaid, whether we are a worker or a boss, the gospel is to impact the way we live. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. You ready for it? Well, all right, we're going to get into it. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 5. It says, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ." So the first person addressed is not the bosses in this world, but the slaves. Now, in Paul's time, there were slaves and masters. Slaves were either free slaves, or they were bound to their masters. Now, we don't use that language now, do we? Better not. we have employees, we have workers, and we have bosses and supervisors. But, you know, we need to remember that even though we see the word slave here, and a slave back in Paul's day had no rights or barely any rights, we need to apply this truth to ourselves. So this is a word to everyone who is a worker, both in paid and unpaid work. This word applies to us. And what we read here, I'm going to read it again. "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ." And I've got to go, wow, what a work ethic every Christian worker is to have. Do you pick up on that? We are to be obedient, we are to be reverent to our bosses, and we are to be sincere to those who supervise us. What do you think of that? That's how we're meant to be. And according to my reckoning and according to my experience, if every Christian worker worked like that, we would be an outstanding worker. Let me remember in my mind as I think about when I was an engineer for about 14 years in the secular workforce. And I remember seeing what everyone normally sees, you know, like there's fellow engineers and technicians and other people, and what kind of work ethic did they have? Well, they wanted, some of them, not everyone, they wanted to get away with as much as they could. You know, like cut corners, sort of shift their workload onto someone else, come in late, go home early, have extended lunch breaks. I remember one guy used his time as an engineer to gamble on the futures stock market and make money. So all sorts of dodgy things can happen. Besides that, there is this constant talk against the boss, putting him down, mocking and ridiculing. And I know not everyone does that, but I remember growing up in our culture. And so as I began to live for Jesus, as I understood that the gospel's not just for being saved and going to heaven, but the gospel's to impact my life, I remember I became a bit of a standout. And every standout employee gets pulled down by the rest of the workers. And I remember that. But I remember that there's something very vitally different when it comes to me working. What is that difference? That difference is this. Most people work for what they can get out of it. We work for Christ. Wow, that is radically different. We don't work for what we can get out of it. If we're a genuine Christian, we work for Christ. And I love how the Apostle Paul has got that in this section of Scripture. Let me read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 again. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. That's the key. We are to be doing our work as to Christ. So that's very challenging, isn't it? Because we have bosses who can just mock and ridicule us. They can be heathens and pagans who actually attack us because of our Christian faith. But we are required to work as to Christ. We are to be obedient to them unless they are violating Christ's will. And we are to be reverent toward them, recognising the authority they have over us. And we are to be sincere in the way we work. And I think the next verse, verse 6, really spells that out, what it means to be sincere. So verse 6 goes on to say, not by way of eye service, as men pleases, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So that means I'm not just doing a good job when the boss's eye is on me. I'm not just doing a good job to be a people pleaser, whether my fellow workers or my boss. It says there that I'm a slave of Christ. What a phrase, a slave of Christ. And I am to be doing everything as if Christ died, and it is on me all the time, and I'm pleasing him. Not pleasing myself, not pleasing people around me, but pleasing the Lord. This is the gospel. This is its impact upon our life as we live. And what's at stake here? The glory of God. And us being in a position to do good to those about us. And even to bring about the opportunity to share the gospel. You know, when I think of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's what a Christian worker is doing. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and respect. And I remember that. I remember this incredible thing when I was an engineer, certain people mocking and ridiculing me, and other people asking, tell me more about Jesus. It's amazing. There are those who will see the difference and want to know what your hope is. But let's go on. It goes on to say, let me just emphasise again, verse 6, not by way of eye service as men pleases, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God. God's will is that you obey, that you revere, that you work sincerely for your boss, and do it from the heart, Remember, God is about the heart. He's not about just duty. Duty, duty, duty. We're meant to be doing things out of devotion, out of love, out of heart for Christ. Now, I want you to just pause and think about yourself with your work situation. And as I have to, I'm required to do this too. We are to see how we are at work right now. And we need to repent of attitudes we have. We need to understand why it's so important that we live this out. It's for the sake of the glory of God and for the sake of the gospel. And may the Lord help you to repent if there's attitudes there that shouldn't be there. If there's things that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. That you might give every reason for the gospel to be seen in your life and for you to be able to glorify the Lord God who has saved you. What a joy it is that we work for Christ. We work for Him. And I'm going to read another parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3 that highlights this too. Colossians 3, 22 to 24. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So tomorrow, as you go out to do paid work or unpaid work, remember who you are really meant to be serving. Not yourself, not other people, but you're serving the great Lord, the great King. And you're meant to serve Him well. Now, let me now have a look at verses 7 and 8. And verses 7 and 8 go on a little bit more about the way we should work. Verse 7 says, with good will render service, as to the Lord, and not to men. That means good intention. Your desire is to be a blessing. A blessing to your boss, a blessing to the workers around you. Christ is the one you're working for, and with good intent, you are to be working. And then verse 8 is a beautiful verse. It says, knowing that whatever good things each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. What do you think about that verse? What that verse is saying is, the one you are really working for, who is who? The Lord. One day he's going to reward you. You might think you're getting rewarded here on heaven. Maybe you get paid. Hopefully you do get paid for paid work. Maybe you get a pat on the back for the work you are doing. But your eyes are going to be on something bigger than that. You're going to be rewarded by the Lord one day. And we're to work for Him well, that He might one day give us that great reward He's longing to give us when we get to glory. He's also able to reward us here on earth. But one day we're going to get the big reward, a reward so great, hard to even describe. Alright, live for the Lord. So as workers, we are to work for Jesus. That's what it's all about. Alright, there's only one verse for masters. We're going to look at that next. So that's verse 9. And masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. All right, so this is addressing Christian masters, Christian bosses. And what I find so striking here is that a Christian boss, just like a Christian worker, is to be radically different to the normal kind of boss you might think of. A Christian boss is not to be threatening, not to be, forcing his workers to do their work. He's not to be shouting at them and belittling them and cursing and swearing at them to get the work done. They're not to manipulate or coerce. Other bosses might do that, but not a Christian boss. Because their master is Jesus. He doesn't behave like that. What's really intriguing here is it also says in verse 9, and masters do the same things to them. Uh-oh, what does that mean? The same things to them. You are to do the same things as the slaves are doing to the masters. What's that? Be obedient, be reverent, and be sincere. A boss is to be obedient. He has codes to follow. He is to be a good boss, not breaking rules, not doing what he wants because he's the boss. He's to be reverent. A Christian boss needs to remember that every person is of worth. They have been made in the image of God. And every Christian boss is to be sincere. Sincere in their yes being a yes and their no being a no. Sincere in the way they care for their workers. Well, how good it is to work for a Christian boss. A genuine Christian boss. A Christian boss is actually serving the servants, not domineering the despised. And it should come out. It should shine so brightly. In this way, a Christian boss is indeed to serve Christ. And so I want you to see here that a Christian boss and a Christian worker, we both are serving the same master. And we are a boss is to serve Jesus by being a leader well, and a Christian worker is to serve the Lord well, being a good worker for Christ. And one day we will stand before Jesus. One day our true master will stand before. And whether we have been a boss here on earth or a servant, a worker, we will be held accountable to the one we are meant to be working for. And I think of the Bible, how it summarises it two ways. We will either hear from Jesus these words, because we were genuine believers, born out in the way that we didn't just call on Jesus to save us and we get to heaven, but it showed in our whole Christian life that we were his. And we'll hear from Jesus, what words? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. But there are many people whose Christian life is so shallow, there's nothing there really. And they don't behave as they ought in the world. And one day they will hear these words that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 7:23. Depart from me. I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. You who do your own thing. Is probably what the Australian way would be. And we need to guard our hearts. So how is Jesus in your life? Like, is he truly the Lord of your life? Is he the one ruling in your life as you work or as you have a leadership over people? Is it real, the Christian faith? And you know, to finish this morning, I want us to consider the one who we have been speaking of, the one we are meant to be following. And that, of course, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian worker is to look to him. A Christian boss is to look to him too. And when I look at Jesus, what do you see? I see someone who is incredibly great, awesome, the great King of Kings, the co-creator of the universe, and I can't help but think of one of the key things of Jesus is that he is the great servant. The great servant. Wow. The King serves us sinners. The King serves as the sovereign Lord. This is him. I'd like us to look at some great verses of Scripture before we close this morning. If we can start in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, we read these incredible words of our Lord Jesus in verses 1 to 3. And the Word here stands for Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. Wow. Verse 14, that same person. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in that very same gospel, this great God who came a human being, it tells us why he came. We have to turn to John chapter 10. I reckon that's one of the key passages. And it says there, Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Whoa! The one who created us. The one who became a human being is the one who came into our world and gave his life up for us, serving us in obedience to God the Father. What a passage. Are you speechless? I am at times. When I think of these things, like, they are so weighty. It's amazing. There's another great passage many of you will know. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 8. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And again, it's like you look at those words, you take them to heart, and you realise that this is Jesus, the one who is in the form of God. He doesn't grasp the fact that he's God, but he lets it go and humbles himself and comes into our world to be a slave for us, obeying his Father so that we could be saved, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be lifted up to heaven. Jesus says it all in one verse in Mark 10:45, a few times in the Gospels, but in Mark 10:45, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life up a ransom for many." And I mention these words, these verses, because how we need to see Jesus as the great servant. And when I think about it, Jesus continues to serve us. What do you reckon about that? Two verses, John 14 verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Doesn't that sound like he's still serving us? He wants us to be right there with the Father. What about Hebrews 7:25? He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. What a king, the great king, the one we all heaven adores, and all the people of the earth should as well, especially those who love him here on earth. He's the great servant of all. Friend, all these pictures here are so helpful and help us to remind ourselves that as we fix our eyes on Jesus, if I'm a Christian worker, he's such a perfect example of service. I am to fix my eyes on Jesus and I'm to serve like he did. And if I am a Christian master, a boss, I am to serve my workers like Christ serves. And look at the whole section of scripture we've been looking at recently. Wives, have your eyes on Jesus. Be like him to the Father, how he is to the Father. Husbands, be like Christ, have your eyes on him. Love the church. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Children and parents, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what we need to do in all areas of life. It's our great joy. It should be our great joy and delight to fix our eyes on the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That we truly be a person who's not living for self, not pleasing other people, but we live for him and we live like he did, the great servant of all. And the three big G words I want to leave with you is when we do this, we glorify God. The other thing we do is we bring great good into our world, into a world that is so self-centered. And the other thing we do is that it allows us to gossip the gospel. It really does. We have a reason to share the gospel because our life shows the reality of it. So even though this is going to put us in a very counter-cultural place, very different to the way our world operates, for the Christian, we are to be different because we have a different master. We are to serve like he did. And our desire is to serve so that we might glorify God, that we might bring great good to all people, and that we might gossip the gospel so that others might be saved as well. May the Lord be your captain and commander. May you look to him and follow him and serve him. You have a most wonderful master. Love him and follow him. And we're now going to sing The Servant King. When I sing that song, one of the verses that stands out for me is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Do you know it? It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God," and I love this translation, "which is your reasonable service." Is that true? It's absolutely reasonable in the light of what God the Father has done for us and how Christ came into our world to obey his Father and to serve us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this Sunday that you've given us, for the life you give us, for how we can come into this place and to worship you. And I know earlier on it was so lovely hearing the people singing our praises to you. And we thank you for that time of communion as we remembered your Son's obedience. An obedience that went from the womb to the tomb. an obedience that was essential that he might be that perfect sacrifice to save us. And Lord, I just look at what we've looked at this morning and from your word about Jesus. He served us. He's the one our eyes are to be on. And we're not to be living for ourselves or living for people around us, but living for your Son. And I've got to say, Lord, how often we get that so wrong. How often we are self-centered. How often we are people pleasers. And we have removed you from our picture. We have you in the back seat of the car. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to have you front and center. That even when work is hard, whether it be a boss or a worker, that we might be working for you, Jesus. That we might be your slaves, doing your will. And that one day, Lord, we would anticipate that great welcome into heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, please, with your gospel, your word, have impact into every area of our life. And I know over recent weeks, looking at husbands and wives and children and parenting, and now workers and bosses, Lord, please, would our lives show the fact that Jesus is resident in our life. And that we are living our life for him. It's him that we live for. Please would you help us, Lord. May you challenge me as well in my life, areas where it's not the case, and also in my brothers and sisters, that you would transform and change our life for the glory of your name. May we be people who bring great good into our world and have every reason to gossip the gospel to those about us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.